Wow. I haven't been here for two Sundays, have I? I was in Mexico the week before Korea, wasn't I? I should look at my schedule here. Yes, it was Mexico. Oh, we had a blast in Mexico. Richard is here from, actually, we have a four leaders, part of the leadership in Oak Ridge Church, which is a Windward Church down in Yelm, Washington. And let's just stand, you guys. So Richard and his wife, Elizabeth, Raul and Shelley, they're up from Oak Ridge this morning. They wanted to come up. So we just love them, honor them. Richard was in Mexico with us as well on the team. It was absolutely awesome. So we love you guys. And let's just put our hands out to them and to our Oak Ridge Church down in Yelm, Washington. Father, we just bless this leadership team. Father, the leaders that are in Oak Ridge, Father, we ask for the wisdom, the direction of the Holy Spirit upon their lives, Lord. There is no boundary in the Spirit between our two countries. That's a physical boundary. But we are of the same family and of the same kingdom. And that's the kingdom of God within us and the kingdom of heaven around us. So, Father, bless them abundantly, we pray. And as they travel back today, give them safe traveling mercies, we ask. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen, amen. Wow, bless you guys. So good to have you here. Something that popped up when Kevin was just sharing, he's talking about the faithful ones. And I said, Lord, what does fully faithful look like? He brought up the big brother, the perspective of the people. That's like my wife. I think she came out like sinless, like she was born sinless. That's my feeling. Me, I was the other way. I did my little fall in my earthly lifestyle. So, but she just hasn't. So it's awesome. Anyways, faithful ones are people who have left their past behind and are faithfully advancing. That's what the Lord gave me, just as Kevin was saying. Faithful ones have left their past behind and are faithfully advancing in Him. Amen. And so if we want to be called faithful, just advance. Just more. Cry out to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the perfect theology. Yes. Everyone gets messed up on theology. Let me just tell you, don't get messed up. Just look at Jesus. That's perfect theology. He knew his father, he did what his father said, and he saw what his father did, and that's what he lived a lifestyle on this earth. He said, yeah, but I want to know about the rapture. Are you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Really? Wonderful. If you want to celebrate that and go after that, fine. You're not going to find a clarity because God doesn't want it that clear. We can go camp out on whatever theology you want from the Word of God. Just remember that theos alahia is the man's study or interpretation of the Word. The word is the truth that sets us free. Let me just say, is the tribulation coming? Did it happen in 70 AD? Whatever your theology is, you can sit out and be on fire for God because God doesn't want your theology, He wants you. Did I just say that? You see, God doesn't have a theology, He has truth. He has understanding. Jesus had the theology of his father by the power of his Holy Spirit upon him. And so he took what he knew, which is knowledge, and then he applied it wisely on earth, which gave him the author of wisdom, the man of wisdom, the scriptures say. So Jesus didn't actually preach a theology, he preached truth. But I'm not against theology. I'll probably get all the emails. It's just Kevin Stoddy at Win. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not against theology. I took 4 years of seminary training plus 2 extra years on top. And I think theology is wonderful and awesome as long as our theology isn't backing us down from the ultimate relationship of Jesus Christ in us. Because we can get so wrapped up and get offended by somebody else's theology. Now, if you're anti-biblical, if you're going against the foundations of the Word of God, you've got a problem. And I'm happy to talk to you and tell you the problem. But if your theology is whether or not you raise your hands in worship, and or you say that's denominationalism, yeah, what has denominationalism done to the church? Separated it. I'm not against denominationalism. I'm just against the separation. I love the diversity, just not the separation. I grew up in a denominational structure. Windward is now classified by the government of Canada as a denomination. Yeah, we didn't even apply for it, but they sent us a letter saying thank you for the payment and the application for denominationalism. This is some years ago. It was just before the first church plant of Windward. Yeah, we didn't file it, but the government felt it was necessary, I guess. I don't know. Maybe God felt it was necessary. But the thing is the denominationalism in the structures that we've had in the past have created more separation in the family than they have created unity. And if you fit the box of denominationalism, then you can stay in the denomination. But if you don't fit the box, then you're out. But you see, God, I believe what he is really desiring is he doesn't talk as much about actually he talks about none of denominationalism in the scripture. He actually talks about family. And so the model of the church is actually about family and not about agreeing on different values that we see and interpret in scripture. Unless you're going against scripture. If you go against scripture, that's called the Antichrist spirit because it's against Christ. Well, it's not just something that's going to happen in the end times. No, it's actually the Antichrist spirit is happening today. It's anything against Christ is Antichrist. So it's not even my message, but I just feel like I need to share this for someone here, that we have to get our mindset out of agreement, that we have to agree on every point and get into the realization that no children in a family agree on everything, but yet they're still family. That if I have three kids, Sharon and I have three of our own children, physically. Those three kids, I guarantee if you sat them up together, they would find some form of disagreement that they would disagree on. But what we've taught them is to celebrate the diversity instead of separate on the disagreements. Now, we have to be careful because there's a lot of universalism out there and different theologies that are floating around there that we're all gods, we're all good, we're all this, we're all that, just love, love, love everybody. Well, we are to love everybody, but we're to hate sin. And so when someone's in sin, we actually hate the sin and we want to help them get truth to set them free from sin. So to have a diversity is celebration. It creates strength. Can you imagine the army? Let's say the United States Army, since it's pretty much the most powerful army in the world. Canada is somewhere. Let's talk about the United States Army, okay? So they're our big brother, okay? And they protect our border. Thank you, Jesus. But anyways, can you imagine if every one of them was a lieutenant? We have an army boy right here. I mean, Raul, how long did you serve, Raul? 20 years he served in Iraq and different places. So, you know, thank you for your service. And, you know, but the reality is the army knows that not everyone can be the same, and the diversity within the army is what gives it its strength. If everybody was a pilot, it would be useless if you tried to run a ship or be a ground assault perspective. And so what am I saying is we actually have to learn to celebrate the diversities as empowerment, not as separation. Anyways, okay, let's preach. What is the expected outcome of living a life with God? So we're all, how many of us are hungry for more of God? Just put your hand up if you're hungry for more of God. Okay, so what's the expected outcome of living that life with God? It's living beyond what we can do naturally. We have to live beyond what we can do naturally. We have to live beyond. I'm a good carpenter, let's say. I'm not, but let's say I'm a good carpenter, and I'm going to live within my good carpenter structure. I personally believe that an intimacy and a relationship with the Father, with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, you don't become a good carpenter. You become the best at what you're called into. And the favor comes upon everything we do because we now know that we couldn't have done it on our own. We could only do it with God. But God gave us the understanding that we have gifts and we need to celebrate those gifts, but we don't celebrate the gifts to bring the name to us. We celebrate the gifts to bring the name to Him. And so when we're rising up in everything that we're doing, we call out, more God, more God, more God. Well, have we taken the time to sit back and look at what we're asking for? If you go to the restaurant and the waitress says, you know, are you hungry? Yeah, more, more, bring more food. Well, what do you want to bring? Bring the full menu. We want the full menu. Bring the whole menu. Really? Yeah, bring the whole menu. Well, the restaurant will bring you the whole menu. They're going to cook up all this food and they're going to bring it to you. Why? Because you asked them for it. And you're paying for it, and they're willing to serve you as long as you've got the bucks to pay for it. But you see, when we cry out to God, more God, more God, have we set back and begun to understand what are we asking for? And if we get it, what's it going to look like? Well, I guarantee you, if it's more of God, you won't know what it's going to look like. So if you have an expectation of what it's going to look like, then you're actually harnessing God to your expectations instead of his understanding. We ask for God. We're hungry for more. I want more of his spirit. I want so much more that I will not live a satisfied lifestyle. I just can't. Well, satisfied, what do you mean? We're supposed to be satisfied in God. We're satisfied in our relationship with God, but we should never be satisfied in our growth.
Yeah, but I've been a Christian for so many years, I know everything.
Really? Really? I used to think that when I was 19, 20 years old. And now I realize I'm still learning so much. I don't know everything. How do we do this lifestyle? How do we live? Hang out with people that have a greater anointing than you. Instead of being concerned or scared about people that are gifted more or hanging out with prophets, they're like, what if they read my mail and, you know, that little sin that I got? Hang out with people that carry more gift than you. To do that, you have to believe some people carry more than you do. But you know how many people think they carry what you need. They carry what people need. You carry what people need. And the reality is you can never advance in the kingdom with that mentality. That'd be like Jesus walking on this earth and saying, you know what, I carry so much more than you. I'll lead you to me, but not to my Father. But Jesus carried what he carried so he could lead you and me to his Father, not to him. Now listen what I'm saying. He was sent to this earth. He chose to come to this earth, walk in a lifestyle that he was unaware of what was going to happen. But he knew his Father. And that intimacy with his Father, what happened after he would minister? He'd go to the mountain and he'd pray all night with his Father. And then you see miracles start happening. It's amazing. The more we have in relationship with the Father, the more the miraculous is going to happen. Because he's a supernatural God. Jesus didn't come to this earth to say, look at me. He came to this earth and said, eventually, I'm the sent one. I'm sent, so what? You will have a relationship, an open door to my Father. Don't glorify me, glorify him. Well, we need to be like Jesus in such a lifestyle that I don't think I'm more anointed than you. I probably travel more than most people in this building. I could say, hey, yeah, I did 150,000 miles in aircraft last year. But what does that mean? That doesn't create more anointing. Oh, I go minister in different countries and in strategic times and nations, and that doesn't mean I'm more anointed. It just means I'm stepping into the destiny that God has me in. It doesn't mean I'm bigger and better than anyone in this place. I actually look at all of you as bigger and better than what I am. That's the whole purpose of what we're called as leaders to do, is to raise up and empower, to bring you truth and understanding so you can have that understanding with God and that intimacy with him. Because that intimacy with him, I guarantee you, will change the lifestyle. And that doesn't happen once. It's continuous. Trust God and his desire to be in relationship with everyone. Through Scripture, God's desire is to encounter man. It's evident all through Scripture. God's desire is to encounter you. You come, we come in, we say, more God, I'm hungry, more. Let it rain, whatever we're singing for more, or worshiping and praising him, but usually we're singing for more. Oh God, I need more of you, I need more of you. You realize that God, before you were born, wanted to encounter you more than you want to encounter him? Like, he is literally in the presence where two or more are gathered. He is there with us. So there's two or more gathered in his name, right? Amen. Is there? So if we're gathered in his name, he is with us. I will guarantee you, he's here not waiting for you to ask for more. He's here giving you more than you could ever handle. He's just looking for the mindset to grab the understanding. It's kind of like praying for something over and over and over again, always asking God for something. You know what? We shouldn't ask for God for something all the time. It's kind of like when a little child comes to you and says, Daddy, Daddy, can I have a candy? No, it's too close to supper. Daddy, Daddy, can I have a candy? No, it's too close to supper. Oh, but Daddy, Daddy, can I have a candy? No, it's too close to supper. Daddy, Daddy, can I have a candy? Get in your room. Go in your room, you're not listening. But many Christians, Father, Father, I want more. I've given you, you got more. I want more. You got, I want more. You got, go in your room. Live in the understanding of what he has given to us. It's the only thing that's blocking that veil is between our ears. It's our mind, it's our thought, it's our lack of identity. Can you imagine if we all had true identity in Christ? You wouldn't walk in this parking lot without seeing the miraculous happening. You wouldn't go to work without seeing someone healed. I mean, it's just, well, maybe I'm not a healer. You are a healer. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. He didn't just say for some. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick. Oh, that's a healer. Raise the dead. Ooh, that's even a big healer. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. That is not an option. That's actually a command in Scripture. It's not optional unless you're dead in Christ. But I'm not dead in Christ. I love Jesus. We need to love him more because he's the answer. He's actually not looking at the problems. He's not looking at decisions our prime minister's making. We need to go after the decisions. We need to be proactive. We need to be a part of the laws that are being passed in this nation and the nations around that we're connected to. Absolutely, we need to be proactive. There is never a time we should not be proactive. But if we sit and live lifestyle on everything, as Kevin said, everything that's not happening, you actually live the lifestyle of not happenings. I can't live it. I can't live it. I got to live the lifestyle of the happenings of God. And the happenings are God. He is roaming to and fro across this earth. He is the mighty warrior. He has the victory. He's not defeated. He has the all victory in heaven and authority in heaven and on earth. That's the lifestyle I got to choose to live. So all throughout Scripture, God desires to encounter man. It's very evident. In Genesis, what? He wants to encounter man. He creates Adam. He encounters Adam and Eve. All through Scripture, Moses, I mean, all the ones he's encountered. And the last book of the Bible, Revelation, God is encountering John. Everything about the Bible is about an encounter that he wants to have with the people that he created. He has already made the encounter to happen. He's looking for the ones to step into the encounter. He's already established it. He's established it. It's in the throne room of the praises of heavens. It's all through Scripture. It's the Word of God. He wants to live in an encounter with you. He's just looking for those hungry enough ones to literally not draw the encounter, but step into the encounter of his presence now. Authentic count, the supernatural happens in a relational setting. You want to be supernatural, you want to live a supernatural lifestyle, be relational with God. I guarantee you, you're going to be supernatural. You cannot live a lifestyle with God without something supernatural happening. If you do, then you have a lifestyle of knowledge, but you actually don't have the wisdom to apply the supernatural wisely. Because what's wisdom? It's knowledge being applied wisely. It's wisdom, making right decisions with what you know. If you're constantly making bad decisions, you're constantly losing money, you're constantly buy something and it's a failure, you invest and you've lost everything and all this happening, get in a relationship with God. Well, I am, I'm a Christian. No, I'm talking a relationship where actually you take knowledge and apply it wisely. Because stupidity is not in the kingdom of God. It's not. Dumb is not in the kingdom of God. You're having a dumb moment. What are you saying? Because that's dumb. It's kind of like you want revival, but you're not going to change anything in your life. That's called insanity. That you're doing the same thing every day, but you're expecting a different result. That's what Webster calls it, insanity. Well, let's quit being insane. Let's be crazy for God. But let's quit being insane and expecting revival to happen and shift and change in us when we're doing the same thing we've always done. Matter of fact, sometimes we're doing less than we've done because we're just tired of doing what we've always did. Well, God's not tired of what you've done, but he's looking for what you're to do. That's his will being done, is what you're going to do. But if we don't do, his will isn't being done in your life. It's still going to get done. It's just not going to get done through us. But I want to change that thought pattern and mentality. And I guarantee you, that's why this ministry is called Wind Word. If we have the Word of God and that's all we have, that's a good thing to camp out on. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, the wind blowing on the Word of God, that's how this whole ministry got its name. We have got to have the Spirit and the Word co-working together as we soar high as eagles. If you're going to camp out on one or the other, camp out on the Word more than just the Spirit, though, I think, because you get a little flaky sometimes. The Word at least has a firm foundation, okay? Learn to focus and see yourself as supernatural. Look to your person on your left right now and say, I'm supernatural. Now you're going to say, well, you coerced me to say that, Brent. Look to the person on your right and say, who are you? No, I'm just kidding. Say, you're supernatural. Like, what does that mean? We live in British Columbia. What is it? Supernatural British Columbia. Beautiful. If nothing else, the government says you are, if you're from here. But the supernatural, if we don't actually convince ourselves of it, you're not going to live it. If you don't convince yourself you're good looking, you're going to live in depression of ugliness. That's called a lack of identity. That's called you do not have relationship with God in the right way because he sees you beautiful. Amen. How you see others can be ugly, but you need to see yourself as beautiful. I'm just kidding. You need to see yourself as beautiful. You are God's creation in his beauty. It's an amazing thing. Go look in the mirror tomorrow morning or tonight when you get home and say, whoa, wow, God. My goodness. You created perfection. No, I just a little too far. But you see, many times in the religious structures that some of us have grown up into, well, that's pride. No, pride is when you become haughty and you actually think you're more beautiful than everybody else. That's pride. But we need to have an understanding of who we really are in Christ Jesus. What did Christ do on the cross? Well, he gave us the opportunity for salvation through the resurrection. Beautiful. That's step one of the marriage, people. That's saying I do and putting a ring on. But he's looking for a bride who's actually going to live married to him. That's what he's looking for. You're beautiful. Look at your body in the mirror. Close the door. Say, God, I'm beautiful. Don't let the world say, oh, you know, you're ugly. You gotta put more makeup on because you're not good looking. You gotta look like Hollywood. How many pictures come out of Hollywood that are actually real? You know how much airbrushing and stuff goes on? It's unbelievable. You look at some of these models when they're off the set walking, they look like normal people. You know, then Hollywood does this thing. It's like, oh, everybody's got to look like that. No, actually, you just got to look like you. That's who God created you. I mean, look after your body, absolutely, but God created you. Look, I'm looking after my body. I'm feeding it well. Yeah. It's hungry, I feed it. It's a simple process. It's called eating on trips and travel and not home cooking, but restaurants at 11 o'clock at night. That's my excuse anyways. If we can't focus and see ourselves as supernatural, then we're blocking the supernatural from operating in our lives. Oh, yeah, we can say, no, I'm supernatural. No, no, no. I'm talking about a lifestyle of understanding that we're actually created supernaturally. Well, but I'm not. I'm only human. You are not only human. How many of you have Jesus Christ in you? How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? How many of you have a soul that will live for eternity one place or another? The reality is you're not only human. You've got a human form with a supernatural ability and concept inside of you. And that's what's created in the image of God. That spirit, the spirit in you, is the same Spirit that's in heaven. We have to focus and see ourselves as supernatural and quit blocking the supernatural from operating in our lives. Sometimes we're just fearful. You know, fear just eliminates us. What if I pray for that person and they don't get healed? But the Bible doesn't say that. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, you know what, only pray for people that you think might get healed or that you know or that you have faith. It doesn't even say you have to have faith to pray for it. It says lay hands on the sick and see them recover, period. It's not your duty for the recovery. It's God's. It's your duty to be obedient and have an intimacy with God. It's your duty to take your lifestyle of kingdom dwelling and kingdom living and manifest it on this earth. That's our duty. It's his duty to do the miraculous. It's our duty to live in the miracles. John chapter 7, verse 37. Let's turn there. John chapter 7, verse 37. The promise of the Holy Spirit, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. What that verse is saying, that if you are thirsty, drink of Jesus and you will no longer thirst. It's actually a simple statement, it's a simple process, and it's literally declaring a law within the kingdom of heaven structure. That if you are thirsty, come to Jesus and you will drink and you will no longer be thirsty. That's the implication that's being said. And so if we live a thirsty lifestyle all the time, we need to have an understanding that sometimes we actually have drank and we need to use that wine that God has given to us as a new wine to advance us forward, so the next time we drink, we're drinking with a different understanding. Does that make sense? So it's an advancement. Of course, if you're thirsty, drink of him, come to him, and you'll have drink. Absolutely. But we don't live a lifestyle. I had to say this right. We don't live a lifestyle where we're always in problems begging for the drink. We live a lifestyle where we're actually partying with Jesus, drinking all the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then when you're weary and heavy laden, he is there to pick you up and carry you. But if we live a lifestyle that we always have to come to him for our needs, he's looking for a lifestyle in us that we're family with him and we're literally coming together to party and to enjoy and to walk this earth with power and authority. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So you come to him in verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now that you've come to him and drink, it means that you're believing in him. So he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So you no longer become the drinker, you become the provider of drink for other people. Are we getting this? We go to Jesus to drink. We cannot expect the people of the world to go to Jesus to drink. We go to Jesus to drink, so we believe, and out of our belief, we become rivers of living water flowing out of our bellies to the people who are thirsty. And what that happens is that then takes the people, they see something in you that makes them want to drink what you got. And then that gives you the opportunity to say, whoa, what I got is Jesus. And now we're actually preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ without ever bringing out your Bible with a big book, hitting them over the head, saying, turn or burn, turn or burn. It just doesn't work. Sometimes. We need to have a lifestyle in us that is so contagious because we're drinking continually. That lightning is not a lightning bolt. It's a continual conduit of high power and authority coming from the heavens. It is just like, you know, you see these Transformer movies? That is peanuts. Or a Thor, okay, Odin, you know, and that's a joke. I mean, this power of heaven is like constant 24/7 never tired, never sleeps, never needs to change the generators, never blows a fuse, never has ice storms and takes the power out, never does anything like that. It's just constant power. And God is asking us, Jesus is asking us, Holy Spirit is pushing us, come to me and drink, says the Lord. Because then you'll become springs of living water. That's not dead water. That's not stagnant water. That's not water that needs to be purified and filtered. That's the best spring living water, period. Amen. And you become that by drinking of Jesus Christ. And that water flows out of you. Verse 39. Verse 39 of John 7. But this he spoke, Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus had not been crucified and risen again. He was not seated at the right hand of the Father at this moment. He was on the earth. And so it couldn't be sent to us yet. It had to wait. It had to wait until that day that Jesus stood with the Father again in heaven, then the promise of the Father could come to us, called the Holy Spirit. We're anointed if we feel it or not. You don't have to feel anointed. You just have to know you're anointed. I believe anointing is a huge part of relationship with God. It's not gift. I've watched evangelists, I've watched ministers preaching the gospel with amazing gift. I've watched miracle signs and wonders, but in the background, the person's in sin. I've watched it with my own eyes. It's a gift operating. Why? Because the word of God will never come back void. It's why you and I shouldn't always be judging everybody else that's saying something out there. We shouldn't sit in it, because the word of God is never going to come back void. It's not our job to judge people. It's our job to protect our sheep, absolutely. But we don't protect our sheep by blaspheming and slandering from the pulpit or from our Facebook pulpit. You guys are all preachers if you got, what is that? I won't say multimedia, no, the internet stuff, social media. You've all become preachers on social media. You preach every time you say something, if it's whatever, and it might be true, it might not be true. I just pray that there's truth in it, because if not, we're accountable to what we say, and if we make anyone fall or stumble out of God, one of the children, heaven forbid, it would be a bad, bad thing for us. Just going to read this quickly. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Actually, you know what? Let's turn there and actually go to verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 18, because this is quite an amazing scripture. Verse 18, little children, it is the last hour. And now that word hour, it means hour, minutes, a time frame, or a season, okay? Obviously, it took the author of this book to write, we all always say it's John, but there's some question on 1 John whether it was written by John or not, but I think it was. But anyway, so the author of 1 John, it took him more than an hour to write the book, so we know that it means season, okay? Little children, it is the last hour or the season, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. So the word says an Antichrist is coming, but even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Interesting, isn't it? What created this, that they're not of us is actually separation. Listen. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Think twice before you separate. Don't be a church hopper. Every 2 years, you got to, you know, check out the new pastors. I mean, unless you're a single guy or woman, you're looking, but I'm just kidding. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. They went out that they might be made manifest. They went out, they left the family because they actually thought they were bigger and better than what the family was doing. Good thing we don't have a bunch of people out there teaching there's no need for church anymore, called the gathering of the saints. Anyways, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. One of the main translations of know all things actually says you all know. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know it. If you're with him, you all know it. So, look to the person to your left again and say, I am anointed. Even if I don't feel it, I'm anointed. Look to your right and say, I'm still praying for you. I'm just kidding. Verse 21. So, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have intimacy, you have relationship, you have an understanding of truth from the Holy One, and you all know it. You all know it. Verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is anti-Christ who denies the Father and the Son. This is some of the theologies I get, that the anti-Christ spirit is alive and living on this earth today, because anyone who does not follow Jesus Christ will have an anti-Christ spirit in them. Verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. I don't want to deny the Son, and I want to acknowledge the Father in me. I got the Father in me. Wow, that's amazing. I have Jesus in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. Oh, you're so prideful, Brent. Yeah, I am. Praise God. I'm proud. I call it proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to have Father in me. I'm proud to have the Word of God in me. I'm proud. It doesn't mean pride to take out you. It means I'm proud and it gives me stability. We know that our brothers south of the border are a proud nation. Do we not agree? They pretty much are proud people. I grew up many years in the United States, and I watched how they did the anthem. I would watch hands on the heart, hats come off, everyone singing. I used to watch that. Now we have people that are fighting against the anthem, which is ridiculous, but they are proud Americans. They used to fly American flags. All these houses used to have American flags. Remember that? And then I come to Canada, and when we sang our national anthem, and people would talk, and they kind of look around, and I know there's pride in Canada. Oh, that sounded bad. I can't even use the word pride right now because there's a movement called pride. I saw a rainbow. I'm sorry. The rainbow is the promises of God. It's the promises of God that he'll never flood this earth again. So they just promising, they're living in the promises of God, they just don't know it yet, so. Love the sinner, hate the sin. My Bible's very clear. We need to have that. We need that proud aspect as a Christian is you become bold. You become bold when you walk. You watch the royal family walk. How many of you were taught old school courtesies? I mean, my parents taught me, open the door for a lady. If you're going down the stairs, you always go in front of the lady going down the stairs. So if she trips, you'll catch her. She won't go to the bottom. She might knock you down and you go to the bottom, but either way, you spare her life. What some people didn't like is if you go up the stairs, you follow your wife up the stairs. Now, I like to do that. We're married 29 beautiful years, okay? We're going on our 30th year in October, so. And courtesy. It's like when you walk along the sidewalk, and this is a rushing road right here, the man always walks between the woman and the cars. You protect her. as Christ loves the church. That's what we do as men. This whole thing of equality or equal rights or whatever, I mean, yeah, you can go with equal rights if you want. If you would rather protect me from the car, go for it. I mean, that's your prerogative, but that's not what I'm destined to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm a guy, male, last time I checked. I'm sorry, I'm losing this. Jet lag, okay? I had like 4 hours of sleep. I went to sleep at 2, I went to bed at like 2:30 because I wasn't even tired yet. I'm still in Korea time, I think. So I had like 4 hours of sleep. So if I say something, just whatever. But that's actually, that's a legitimate statement last time I checked. Ridiculous. Come on, people. Whatever you feel like that you can be now, what, we're having babies born with you or unknown for the sex now? In their medical card? Unknown. Are you guys losing it? Just pull the britches down or the diaper off and take a look, for crying out loud. It's crystal clear. Like, it's not a gray area. It's actually black and white. It doesn't matter what laws there are. The reality, I know exactly what my Bible says. And I preach the Word of God. It's not a neutral zone. It's, dude, like, when my kids came out, the first thing we looked at was the organs. It's a boy! It didn't say we don't know what it is. The doctor be fired. I wouldn't let him deliver any more babies. And actually, the same doctor delivered all our children. And you know what? Our firstborn, Samantha, everybody said, this was during the season when they no longer let ultrasounds show the sex because certain races were killing the girl babies or aborting the girl babies and because they want males. And so some of our kids were born during the season. They actually wouldn't tell us what sex the baby was. So everyone said, it's a boy, I guarantee it. Even the nurses, up to the delivery, it's a boy because of the heartbeat. We've delivered hundreds or thousands of babies. We know it's a boy. And you know, Samantha came out posterior, face up. Sharon says it was more painful. I don't know. I didn't experience the pain, but I saw her in it. And she came out face up, and her one eye just looked right at her daddy. That was the first thing she saw. I'm like, ah! Almost passing out. No, I thought it was actually quite fascinating. She came out, and I still didn't know. One eye looked, but I didn't know. And then, it's a girl! I guarantee that's a girl! None of my kids have a U for unknown. info@windward.ca if you have any problems just talking to the TV out there. No, I'm just kidding. 1 John 2:27. I'm not going to turn there. Just write it down. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. The anointing which you have received from him, big H, that means God, that means Jesus, that means Holy Spirit. The anointing that you have received from him abides in you. Not a question, not maybe, not a you for unknown. It is the anointing from God that you have received. It abides in you. It dwells in you. It lives in you. It's there. It's just waiting for that eggshell outside to break and come out. That's why the kingdom of God is within. As the Pharisees questioned Jesus, well, where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you. It's within us. Hey, kingdom. Some have a bigger kingdom. I'm building my kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. The anointing that we have received from him. Question. It's a statement. We have got to understand this. because we have to walk knowing we're anointed, not to overpower each other, but to blend together with each other. And when the anointing of God in each of us comes together in the gathering of the saints, there's a power and there's an authority that won't happen in a Starbucks. It might not happen in a Tim Hortons, especially not a Tim Hortons. Maybe a Starbucks. I'm just kidding. Never happen in a Dodge cab, but a Ford cab it could. Earl. The reality is, the anointing is in us, and it's wanting to come and change your life. Well, Jesus changed my life. Actually, Jesus opened up the door for you to change. Oh no, Jesus changed me. Jesus opened the door for you to change. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the change in us. We have to come to this understanding and realize that it is our duty to manifest the anointing of God in us. It is our duty to manifest the supernatural realm of His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is our duty. It's not a question. It's not maybe. There's one prayer that we are taught to pray. Not even anything about your meal other than blessed, but there's one prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in all of Scripture. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's all about He wants to establish something. He wants to establish His kingdom, but He's looking for kingdom dwellers, because kingdom dwellers, they establish kingdom everywhere they go. It doesn't matter what seasons are raging around them. It doesn't matter if winter winds are blowing. It doesn't matter if the governments of our countries are making goofy, dumb decisions. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we have the relational understanding that we carry and are to expand the kingdom of God. Let's all stand. John 10 verse 4 says, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. We have to be led by the Spirit, or we're not even sure if we're true sons. Realize that the power of God is actually in our hands. Really, God? But I'm not good enough. Quiet. I've created you good enough, says the Lord. You are good enough. Yeah, but what just happened last week in my life, I walk in forgiveness and restoration in your life. You're actually created so good. You're too good to be sinning. You're not destined to sin. You're destined from freedom of sin. We're not destined to have bad attitudes. We're destined to have righteous attitudes. Sons are led by the Spirit of God. So if we're a son of God, we have to be led by the Spirit. What do you think the Spirit would be saying to us all right now in your own personal life? Just do nothing? No. Are you kidding me? The tongues of fire, the mighty rushing wind Spirit, that one? That Spirit, the Holy Spirit? Whatever the past has been, let it go. Because God's asking us to live future now. He's asking us to live in future now. Every second is future. There went future. There went future. Oh, missed that future. Oh, missed that one. So let's not miss it.
Well, that's easy for you to say, Brent.
Actually, it's not. Well, maybe it's easy to say, but it needs to be a lifestyle of what we're called into. Some of you have felt unworthy. I can see it in the spirit. Some of you have been struggling with something over and over again. Some of you are feeling great and empowered, but you're still wanting more and hungering for more, and there's more there. It doesn't matter what you've done. What God's looking for is what you're going to do. What are you going to do now? What is your choices of this day? Because this is the day the Lord has made. While we've been in here, it's actually started to rain a little bit outside. Let it rain. Let it rain. So what's next? Oh, I can do an altar call. I could hype you all up and we could go that route, this and that, but I think Kevin said it well in my office this morning. He said he could feel the heavy weight of his presence. The Kabod glory. The heavy weight of his presence. It's what Moses cried out for when the bush started burning. It drew his attention and it turned the ground holy. The heavy weight of his presence. Kevin Jackson declared that if you're sick, be healed. I declare it right now in Jesus' name. Whatever sickness you are, whatever you have, just be healed in Jesus' name. You don't have to carry it. Whatever depression you might have been carrying, get rid of it in Jesus' name. Don't walk in it. Get liberated right now in Jesus Christ. Let the weights fall off your back. Shelly had a word about a single mom here. I guarantee you there's a single mom here that word, and maybe a couple that word was for. You're good enough. Don't live in the depression of past or the issues of past. Live in what God's given you. He's given you blessed child or children. Look at who God's given you. It's amazing. He's entrusted you with a child. And who says you're going to stay single all the time? Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Whatever it is that you brought into this place, if it wasn't of God, it's antichrist. If it's not found in the kingdom of heaven, then it's not what Christ was preaching. And maybe we have an attitude. Maybe some of you have a bad attitude. Maybe some of you think you know everything. Maybe some of you are no longer teachable. Well, let me tell you, that's antichrist spirit on you. All through Scripture, it says we have to remain pliable and teachable and let the potter make the pot, the clay, mold the clay. Huh. He's making us. We're clay on a potter's wheel. And he keeps dipping his hand in the waters of drinking and smooths out the pot. And that pot designed to have a never-ending well of his presence. The rivers of living water will spring forth. So let's bow our heads. Father, I pray today. I ask, Lord God, this is the day that you have made. I pray, Father, no matter what people are going through right now, whether they're watching on TV, YouTube, Facebook, whatever it is, Lord, whoever's in this sanctuary right now, Father, it doesn't matter what we carried in. If it wasn't of you, it has to leave us now in Jesus' name. Because we have the only true faith, the only true religion, the only true living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father God, that we live supernatural lifestyle. This whole thing of being human, it's for humans, but it's not for Christians, because we're not just human. We're Christ followers, filled with his spirit, and we're wells of living water springing from our bellies. And I pray for the single moms, Lord God. Bless them as they raise children. And I ask, Lord God, if you have a choice for them to meet someone, to no longer be a single parent, I ask, Lord, that that right person comes along. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. Because you're a good, good God. And you don't like seeing us alone. You want to see us as family. And I pray, Lord God, I just felt earlier, and they might have left already, but I felt earlier that someone was making some financial business decisions and they needed to make some wise choices. And I felt like praying that the wisdom of the Lord would come on some financial advancement in a business of some kind. So Father, we just pray wisdom into the advancement of that business. Whatever that looks like, Lord, you'll give wisdom for the right decision-making processes and the right partners co-laboring together in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just saw someone's mortgage and a payment, and I feel like the Lord wanted to bless somehow or another. Some payments are going to change in a mortgage. I don't have a clear word that it's actually the payment's going to get paid or the mortgage gets paid off, but something's going to come up about a payment in a mortgage, and God's going to show his miraculous provision that's going to blow you away. And remember, if this word applies and it happens, it's your duty to bring the testimony. It's your duty to bring the testimony, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Interesting. I saw back pain, even lower back pain, and I know my wife even said something this morning about some pain in her lower back, but I actually saw the hand of God touching lower backs right now. If that's you, just have someone, or you put your hand on your lower back right now. I just saw the hand of God touching lower backs and back pain in Jesus' name. Just, Lord, heal it. If it's pinched nerves, if it's herniated discs, whatever it might be, Lord, let these people be healed in Jesus' name right now. All pain go in Jesus' name right now. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. A kidney, something about a kidney as well, too. Father, we pray healings in the kidney. Healing in the kidneys, Father. Might even be a kidney infection of some kind. Father, we pray a healing in that urinary tract area. That's what it is. Kidney, urinary tract, whatever it is, that area. Father, we just pray a miracle of healing right now in Jesus' name. Right now, right now. Yes, Lord. Right leg or ankle, something in the right leg or ankle. In Jesus' name, we pray for the miraculous right now, Father, that all that pain, any disformity, any issue or problem in that leg to be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you.